This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We've been doing a series called The Short List. Let's read our text scripture, and then we'll launch into it again. And the short list, three short verses, but they're pretty powerful. Let's read it here. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So why don't we do this? Why don't we pray and just prepare our hearts? You say, well, why do you do that? Why do you pray before that you speak like this? Because really what it helps us do is helps us kind of refocus. Sometimes you can come in, your mind's all over the place, but it's just good for us to come in and go, you know what? I'm here. I made the effort to come. Might as well get something good. And so it opens up our hearts, helps us receive better. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, we have an opportunity to gather in a wonderful building with air conditioning. It's a nice place. We're grateful for that. And Lord, we're thankful that we can come and that, Father, you can unveil things to us, make things become real to us. This is not wasted time. This is valuable time. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, that he can enlighten us and show us. And so, Father, tonight our hearts are open. Our ears are open. We're ready to receive exactly what you have for us tonight. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The first verse is really where we've been camped out a little bit. It says, rejoice always. That's a fast verse, isn't it? So if you tell somebody, I just memorized a Bible verse. Check this out. Rejoice always. You can add that one to Jesus wept as short verses that you have memorized. But rejoice always. And remember last week, I challenged you to rejoice a little bit more this week. Anybody take me up on that? Was it great? Four of you. I'm glad. That's good. That's encouraging. And if you did, you probably found out it's not easy. Very first part of this series, we talked about Jesus said, if you become a doer of the word, it's like digging deep. And we said, becoming a doer is not easy. And so I was thinking, you know, Alan, you challenge people. Is that a good idea? Gave them a homework assignment. Rejoice more. People don't like that. And I thought, well, no, let's think about that. If you decided, you looked in the mirror, you went, I'm going to get back in shape. So you go down into a gym and you find a personal trainer. Do you realize that personal trainer will challenge you? If you've got a good personal trainer and y'all look at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. You know what I'm talking about? You get a good personal trainer, you do 10 reps, and what's a good personal trainer will say? Give me some more. Give me two more. You're like, I can. You're like, yeah, you can. Come on. And he'll just make you go to you. You're like, I can't stand it. A good personal trainer will challenge you physically. If you're in a place in your career and you feel like, man, I feel like I'm stuck, and you go and you hire a personal coach or like a life coach to help you professionally, how many of you know they'll challenge you professionally? You say, well, I'm kind of stuck in my career. They say, well, here's what we're going to do. We want you to go to a Toastmaster class. You're like, what? I don't think I want to do that. Well, a good one will challenge you. If you go to a marriage counselor or attend one of the marriage classes here at the Ark, you say, you know what? We need to kind of upgrade our marriage. Not upgrade our spouse, upgrade our marriage. I want you y'all hear me on this, all right? So we're going to upgrade. You go to a marriage counselor. You go to a class around there. At some point in time, they really should look and challenge you. If they don't challenge you, you probably haven't grown. So as a pastor, I feel like it's my job to spiritually challenge you. Because if we can be spiritually challenged, you respond to that. That's how we grow. And so it works that way in the natural. It works that way spiritually. So learning to do some things that are different, learning to do some things that maybe are a little bit uncomfortable or awkward. And anytime you start something new, it's awkward. Joy's family, you've heard me tell this before, but Joy's family, one of her relatives wrote a book back in the 70s called Kissing with Confidence. It was geared toward teenagers to teach them how to kiss better. Joy's family. Not my family. Joy's family. An author of a book. And so they were trying to help teenagers in the 70s. I'm like, great, that's just what they need. Just need a lot of confidence in that area. That'll be wonderful. But the idea is, anything you first start, you're uncomfortable with, it's awkward. First kiss. You remember your first kiss? That was probably a joke. It was probably very awkward. You're like... But you know what you said after that? You went, you know what? I'm not going to ever kiss anything again. That's time done. That's it. I will never kiss again, ever. It's awkward. Most people, when they learn, if you learn to play golf, a lot of golfers start off, it's just extremely awkward. Ball goes all over the place. But, you know, a lot of golfers, those are like, man, I'm going to stick with it. And so people learn to do things and acquire a taste for things that taste horrible. A friend told me, he said, you need to drink scotch. I tasted it one time. This is before I got back to the Lord, and I drank, tasted scotch, tasted horrible. I'm like, my gosh, I could drink kerosene. It's a lot cheaper. And they're like, no, Alan, it's good for you. You can just acquire a taste for it. I'm like, I don't have to acquire a taste for Coke or lemonade. Why do I need to acquire a taste for this? He said, well, it's cool if you do it. You know, you drink scotch, you're a young guy. That's great. That's great. So thank God I didn't acquire a taste for it. But I thought, why do I want to acquire a taste for that? But sometimes with spiritual things, when you start something, it starts off awkward. And if you've never rejoiced or really praised God before, it might be a little awkward for you. If you never read your Bible, it might be a little different for you. But I tell you what, you can acquire a taste for it. And when you do, it's good. And here's the good, no side effects. There's not that disclaimer. And if you read, you know, if you begin to read your Bible, you don't have to have small print and a guy speaking real fast telling you what bad's going to happen in your life. You can begin to read your Bible. You can begin to praise God. No side effects. Good stuff. And so don't feel bad if it starts off awkward. If you never praise God and you do it for the very first time, you might feel like, oh my gosh, this feels so weird. I lifted my hand, they feel like shovels. And I just like, praise you, Lord, praise you, hallelujah, praise you. Man, that feels, I don't know if I'm ever going to do that again. Well, just remember that first kiss. Stay with it, you can actually get good at it. All right. We talked last week about rejoicing. It means to be glad and express joy, an outward expression. It says to rejoice at something good that's happened to us, happened to others in God's family. It's to say good things about the Lord and good things to Him. So we talked about that. We talked about taking the Psalms. And I don't know if I talked about that last week. I know I talked about it Sunday. Just taking the Psalms and beginning to take the Psalms and read. In fact, I always encourage people to do that. You take one Psalm and you could stay in one Psalm for a while. My Psalm of choice right now is Psalms 118. And I'll just get up and in the morning, my first thing I'll do is just begin to read Psalms 118 and I'll read it. And then I'll go back and read it and begin to praise the Lord with it. And so instead of jumping all over the place, I'll just stay with one Psalm for a while. And it gives me a template. It gives me I call it tracing paper. It's like tracing over, and then you can begin to fill in words. And so it's a real good thing to do. Now here's some of the benefits of rejoicing. Rejoicing keeps God in our consciousness. When you're rejoicing all the time, you're rejoicing at Him, thanking Him, blessing Him, helps us keep our minds on Him. It's considered a good thing. There's really no way to go wrong rejoicing in God. In fact, in Psalms 33:1, it says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Praise from the upright is beautiful. So it's a beautiful thing to do. So it's good. It keeps God in our consciousness. It helps us keep the negative thoughts from lodging in our hearts. When you're rejoicing, it's hard to go negative. And so you can thank God and enjoy it. And it just keeps, sometimes you ever get a thought that just seems you get stuck on. And it just goes over and over. And it's a tormenting thought. One of the best ways to circumvent that is begin to thank God on another vein. Find another verse, find something. And as you're rejoicing and praising God, It's a good way to deal with those thoughts. Jesus said that out of the mouths of babes and infants, you've ordained praise that you might steal the enemy and the avenger. So it helps to steal that. Here's the fourth one. We did not discuss this last week, but I wanted to talk about it. Rejoicing strengthens your faith. Rejoicing strengthens your faith. Story of Abraham and Isaac. Sarah don't have time to go into it tonight, but let me just give you the short version. Abraham was about 99 years old. Sarah was 90, and the Lord spoke to them and said, "You're going to have a baby, and it's going to be Sarah's the one that's going to have a baby. She never could have a baby." And so, in the book of Romans, we get a little picture of how Abraham handled that. It's found here in Romans 4. It said, this is talking about Abraham. "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead." Now, when he's talking about dead, he's talking about the inability to produce. Obviously, he wasn't dead, as in grave dead. Since he was about 100 years old, he had an inability to produce. Do I need to explain that to people? Thank you. I'm really glad. I'll get in trouble with Joy. This was way before Viagra. Okay, so he was already dead. Since he was about 100 years old. Oh, there you are. Good. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, here's the next. Look at this next verse. "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God." He said he didn't waver at the promise of God. Now, that word waver, actually the word means to separate himself. So if you can imagine, God gives Abraham a promise. And so here's the promise. Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a baby. Sarah's never been able to have a baby. You are now done past the days of fathering children. And so here's that promise. And the Bible said, so he didn't consider his own body, but here's what he did do. He said he didn't separate himself from the promise of God, but he strengthened his faith. I like to say it this way. He strengthened his grip on the promise as he gave glory to God. And so oftentimes we have promises in our life and we have not yet seen them come to pass. Well, instead of separating ourselves from them and going, "I don't know if this is ever going to work," one of the best ways you can begin to strengthen your faith is to begin to praise God and to give him thanks. And to rejoice and say, "Father, I just want to thank you." So evidently Abraham would go out, maybe he'd look at the stars at night and go, "Thank you, Father. I am the father of a multitude. Thank you that Sarah and I are going to have a baby." I don't know exactly how he did it, but the Bible says he didn't separate himself from the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith as he gave glory to God. Now that verse right there will help you. Because oftentimes we pray, we ask God for something. We are in the process of believing for something. And what do we do in the interim? And one of the best things we can do in the interim is give praise to God. Now, I'm going to go over this tonight because I'm going to show you a great example from the Scripture on that. But it actually strengthens your faith. Now, here's the other one, rejoicing. This is what I want to talk about tonight. Rejoicing is a choice. No one is born a natural rejoicer. It's a learned behavior. No one is like, "Oh, look at them. They're just a natural. They're a natural rejoicer." I don't think anyone's a natural rejoicer. I think some people are just more prone to singing. A number of years ago, is Billy here tonight? Where's Billy? Is she teaching? Okay. Billy Hunt. When Billy and I were at Lakewood together, back during the 80s, they used to do, I don't know why they did it a lot, but, you know, music directors would have you turn and sing to your neighbor. When I hired Justin, I said, "If you ever have us turn and sing to our neighbor, I'm going to fire you." You remember that? That, and I said, and no Jericho marches either. Anybody remember a Jericho march? It's like a Christian conga line where they do a Jericho march all around. I said, "We ain't doing that either." But the singing to your neighbor thing, man, that's jacked up. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't sing to my wife. Much less turn around. It's like, and they're like, "Oh, turn around and catch hands with someone and sing to them, 'I love you with the love of the Lord.'" No. That's an awkwardness I don't want to get over. So we're there one night, and here he goes, worship leader. "Turn around and sing to your neighbor." I turn around, and there's Billy Hunt. Well, Billy can sing. And so Billy grabs my hand and she's like, "I love you with the love of the Lord." I'm thinking, you're killing me here. You really are killing me here. Then there was a time that Pastor Osteen called us all up on the stage and said, here's this song. We're all going to sing this song. And so I'm like, I hated that song. It's a good Christian song. I just couldn't stand it. So I'm sitting there having to sing it. Some people are natural singers. I am not. And if you're not, that's okay. You can rejoice without having to sing. But it's a learned trait. It's a learned behavior. No one gets born again, they're like, oh, I'm just a natural rejoicer. I just rejoice all the time. No, in fact, the Bible says, here's one reason we don't rejoice all the time. It's the sacrifice. Look what it says here in Hebrews 13. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It said, it's the sacrifice of praise. If you kicked up your rejoicing this week, how many of you found sometimes it wasn't easy to do? It was a sacrifice. And if you just, and here's one of the reasons with the sacrifice, someone's going to pay the cost. Somebody's got to pay the price on the sacrifice. Usually, what pays the price is our feelings. Because we just don't feel like doing it. We've been trained to just do what we feel like doing. I don't feel like rejoicing today, so I'm not. No. When you don't feel like rejoicing, that's one of the best times to rejoice, because that's the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so, man, when you don't feel anything like it, and you're like, Lord, I just want to thank you. You've been good to me. You have been merciful to me. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Lord, I want to thank you. And you offer that, even though you don't feel like it, that's a wonderful sacrifice of praise. But I'll tell you something, if you'll keep it up, your feelings will follow. And so you can retrain yourself. But no one's a born rejoicer. No one's like, man, this is so easy to do. No, we learn it. And we learn it because it's not something easy. But as you begin to do it, you develop it, you get strong. Now, let me read you a story today in the Bible about it. And it's one of the clearest stories of the choice to rejoice. It's a story of Jehoshaphat. It's in the Old Testament. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, a good king, godly king. And they were having, nothing really was going on in the nation. All of a sudden, he gets a word. He gets a text. He looks down at this text. It said, you got three armies coming against you. It's a huge multitude. He really didn't get a text, but it came to him. And the Bible said he got this message. Now he's afraid. He calls everybody together. And he calls all the people together and his leaders together. And he calls a fast. He said, we need to seek God because we got a whole bunch of people coming. Now he does a prayer. We'll go into the prayer maybe sometime later when we talk about praying. But it says, I want to read 2 Chronicles 20th chapter. Let me just read this passage, because here's Jehoshaphat talking with the Lord, and here's what happens. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? He's talking about those three armies. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a great way to end a prayer. Lord, we can't do this, but our eyes are on you. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of a lot of other people, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That's a good word. You got a problem. They had a problem. They went and prayed. And the Bible said the Holy Spirit came on one of the... Probably he was a priest, probably a prophet. And so he began to speak out, thus saith the Lord. As I was thinking about that, I want to remind you, Keith Moore is coming next month. Now, for those of you who have not heard Keith is a new... He didn't call himself that, but he is one. He's a New Testament prophet, a little different from an Old Testament prophet, but they still are very profound and they speak for the Lord. And so I want to encourage you. Good thing to pray about, good thing to get ready for. But if we receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. So the idea behind that is pretty powerful. But the Holy Spirit, who's been around since the beginning, he moved on this one guy and he stood up and he began to speak. And he gave him direction and he gave him encouragement. He said, listen, you don't need to be afraid. In fact, twice he told them, you don't need to be afraid. Twice he told them, the Lord is with you. So those are Those are good words. Now, we're reading this, and we think, oh, okay, all right, this is great. Isn't that great? Praise God. But wait a minute. They got a word, they got a promise, but they still have a problem. There's still a huge army that's coming out against them. So now you see, they got a choice that they can make. And the choice is, I can believe what this guy just said, believing that he spoke by the Spirit of the Lord, I can believe that, or I can kind of hold back and wait and see if it was accurate or not. So I can hang on. We'll see. But what we see here is Jehoshaphat and the people made a choice. So here comes a word. Here comes a promise. Now what are they going to do with that? They can sit back and go, okay, we'll see. But I like what they did next. Let's see, 2 Chronicles. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So it's obvious right here they made a choice. They got a word, they got a promise. And on that word and on that promise, now here's their choice. They could choose to go, praise God, thank you. Jehoshaphat's worshiping God. Thank you, Lord. The priests stand up. They begin to worship God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, well, Alan, what's that got to do with us? It's got everything to do with us. You read the Bible, there's wonderful promises there. You read His Word, He talks about how He's forgiven you, how He's made you a new creation, how He'll help you, how He'll strengthen you, how He'll be your peace. Now, you read these verses, and we have choices. We could go, okay. Or we could do what Jehoshaphat did. And we can go, oh, thank God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're the peace in my life. Thank you. I don't have to live oppressed all my life. Thank you, Lord. I don't care how many of my family have been depressed. I can live free from that. Thank you. How Jehoshaphat responded to that promise is one of the greatest ways we can respond. It's the choice to rejoice before we see something. See, this is different. This is different for us. Remember, we're believers. We don't have to wait and see something to rejoice. Oh, yeah, when we do see it, it's wonderful. But how many of you know you can actually rejoice before you see things going? Listen, when you come up here and pray, and you pray with somebody, and you say, hey, listen, I'm having trouble in my family, and I need wisdom from God, and we pray, we ask God for wisdom, what's the best thing for you to do once you pray that? The prayer is over, you ought to begin to say, Lord, I want to thank you for wisdom. I want to thank you for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, because you said, here's a promise, you said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So because we got a promise, now we could rejoice at the promise before we see it come to pass. Boy, does that make sense? This, and let me tell you something. This is where the rubber meets the road. Because if you can rejoice before you see it come to pass, you're on the right track. Jehoshaphat, they're facing a huge army. Three armies got together and said, we're going to go whoop up on Judah. And Jehoshaphat's facing this army, and he just said, Lord, he said, I can't do anything about this army. My eyes are on you. And the Lord said, great, here's your answer. You're not even going to need to fight in this one. I got you. I got your back on this one. All you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you again, don't be afraid, for the Lord is with you. Do we have any promises like that? Yes. How about Hebrews 13, 5 and 6? It said, let your conversation be without covetousness, to be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a promise. So here's the deal. That sounds good in here on Wednesday night. But it sounds good on Tuesday morning. And it sounds good Friday evening, because when you're just thinking, God, don't start that. God, I wish you were with me. No, he said he was with you. So the best thing we can do is say, Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, that you are my helper. In fact, you said, I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What are you doing? We're rejoicing before we see it. That's a choice. That's a choice. So next day, here's what, let me see if I can wrap this up. So next day, Jehoshaphat, let's go ahead to the next one, Carrie, if you would, 20 through 22. Here's what they did. You got that next one, Carrie? You don't? You know, Carrie's a Dallas Cowboy fan. I think he's jacking with me. That's right. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. He goes out the next morning. So he stands up and he encourages the people. He said, "If you'll believe God, you'll be established." That word established means you'll be firm, you'll be strong, you'll be set. He said, "If you believe God, you'll be set." He said, "You believe his prophets, you'll succeed." The prophet gave a word. And so they could have just kind of snuck up on the army. They could have gone down quietly, not wanting to call attention to himself. But he brings the praise team out. He said, "Praise team goes first." And they're out, probably had tambourines, my least favorite instrument, but they probably had some. And they're out there saying, what in the world are you doing? Doing exactly what the Lord said. The Lord said, "You won't have to fight in this one. If you'll stand still, you'll see the salvation." So what you're seeing in Jehoshaphat is, here's a guy who believed what God said, and he's rejoicing ahead of time before he sees it. You say, "Well, wow, that's awesome from Jehoshaphat." Listen, Jehoshaphat is not more awesome than you. He's not some super category. In fact, we actually have an advantage that Jehoshaphat didn't have. See, Jehoshaphat had the Holy Spirit upon him because he was anointed to be a king. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us because we're a new creation in Christ. Jehoshaphat was a servant. We're a son. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. We have this whole Holy Spirit in us and can be upon us. But the bottom line is, we got a better deal. So you say, "Well, you know, Alan, if you know something miraculous like that would happen, I could rejoice." You don't even have to wait for something miraculous like that to happen. You can rejoice ahead of time. You can find a promise. I just gave you that one in Hebrews. You can find the promise. You can walk out of here going, "Thank you, Lord. You will never leave me and never forsake me. I will never be alone because you are always with me and you are helping me. I just want to thank you for that." You can thank God all the way to work tomorrow. "Thank you, Lord, for your good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, you're gracious and you help me and your mercy." You say, "Well, I really don't feel like it." You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't even have to feel like it. You can just rejoice anyway. You say, is that easy? No. It's a sacrifice, but it's a good one. And I'll tell you something. It can lift things off of you. I was someone who dealt with depression. I was someone who was plagued by it for years in my life. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. So I can speak to this. I haven't had some things. I've had this. And I had depression. I was at a service one night. I had a baby coming. My wife lost her job. We were in Bible school. Man, we weren't making it. And I'm selling door-to-door insurance, door-to-door. And it's not working. And I'm not doing good. And I'm getting further and further and further and further down in depression. And we were at a service at ORU's Maybe Center. And Joy and I were there. And it was during the praise service. You know, you can attend a praise service without really attending a praise service. You can be there going, So I was kind of doing that. And the speaker stopped. Never forget, he stopped. He said, "I just feel impressed." He said, "The Lord said, we need to praise a little bit more." I'm like, just keeping it real, people. So I'm like, "Oh." So we began to praise a little more. He stopped again. He said, "If you've been dealing with depression and just oppression on your life," he said, I want you to run, not walk, down here to the front." I'm standing there, and my wife gave me a look that was priceless. See, she'd been living with someone who was depressed, and she looked over at me like, what are you doing here? It's like, get your rear end, you know. She didn't say that. You know how someone, you know how people can just communicate with a look? She just looked at me like, what are you doing here? And I remember I'm like, I don't run anywhere. I'm like 23 years old and way too cool to run. So I'm walking down to the front. And I thought, no, the man said run. And I remember that I took about two steps. And I felt like, it felt like somebody threw a cloak over me. And that heaviness lifted off my life. And we worship. But then he said something that was really powerful. He said, if you begin to worship, this will stop in your life. So let me just talk to you who deal with depression just for a moment. This is one of the best counteractions to depression that there is. I know there's meds, and I'm not against, please, I'm not against you if you need meds. If you need meds, take them, please. But if you think that you have to be stuck with depression for the rest of your life, that's a lie from the enemy. Because you can be free.
Yes.
Amen.
If you never deal with depression, you need to be merciful, because it's like a black hole. But I want to tell you something, you can come out.
Yes.
And this rejoicing is one of the best ways to do it. The Bible says in Psalms 22, verse 3, he said, for you are holy. He said, you're enthroned in the praises of Israel. King James said, you inhabit the praises of your people. As you begin to praise God, let me tell you something. You begin to praise God. Said when they begin to praise God, God said ambushes. And here's the phrase I don't want you to forget. God can work with your praise a whole lot better than he can work with your complaining.
Yes.
Give him something to work with. You can go home tonight thinking, Lord, thank you. Depression may be a part of my life, may be a part of my family's life, but it does not have to be a part of my future. In fact, let's bow your head right now. And I'm going to pray for you. If you deal with depression, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if that's you, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just put your hand on your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray for those right now who are just dealing with the weight of oppression and depression. And Father, I thank you. That's not your plan for your people. You love them. You care for them. And you changed this whole message just to talk to them, to give them hope and to give them help. And in Jesus' name, I thank you that tonight things begin to change in Jesus' name. Depression, you have to go. You can't stay. You don't belong to God's property. So Lord, we thank you tonight. Thank you for freedom. Thank you that who the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you that you've delivered us from the authority of darkness and you've transferred us to the kingdom of your dear Son. We have a new Lord, new kingdom, and we're going to live free in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you say, Alan, I've never made a decision for Christ. I've never asked him to be the Lord and Savior, or I'm not confident of that. Or maybe you're here and you say, Alan, I did that a while back, but I've gotten so far away from God. I'm not where I should be with God. I know it. He knows it. But I want to come back. We're going to say another prayer, just a simple prayer. Again, we're not going to call you out, have you stand up or come to the front. But we're going to pray for you. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, I want a relationship, I want to be sure, or I want to come back, Alan, I want in on this prayer. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium? Say, Alan, that's me you're talking to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Way in the back, way in the front. Thanks. Thank you. Wonderful. Appreciate your honesty and your courage. That's great. Anybody else? We're going to pray. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You're thinking, I missed it. I missed it. Man, I'm such a doofus. You're not a doofus. And you didn't miss it. We're going to pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. You can pray it right out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you. Whole church is going to pray it out loud. Pray so you can hear yourself pray. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior.
I know
I can't save myself.
Jesus,
I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now,
I confess you
as my Lord,
as my Savior,
as the one who forgives me
and restores me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.